All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education special meeting of August 5th, 2013. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Meade.
Here.
Mr. Devine.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, first up on the agenda is the discussion of levy options. Ms. Mankins, would you like to lead that, or Ms. Ritter? Or what is it we're discussing in particular? We're talking about the 656 coming up?
Correct.
Yes.
So just help me out here a little bit, so we're not looking at...
At the last finance committee meeting, we had some conversation about the upcoming renewal, 656. And early conversation prior to change in legislation was really maybe an interest in making that a replacement. Due to the change in the rollback, I think it was very clear that we did not think that that would be... in the best interest of the district or the community to pursue in that manner. But then the conversation really became around the 656 and when, you would ask. We could go as early as this November if we made a decision in like 2 days, right? or we'd have three opportunities next year. It expires at the end of next calendar year. So I know that Ms. Devine was concerned that maybe she hadn't expressed at the last board meeting kind of all the different sides of the conversation and really allow the board to hear kind of the insights of the finance committee and their feelings. I do think we had a mix, to be really honest with you. We had some people who said, let's just go on in November, get it over with, out of the way, run a small campaign, have important talks with the right kind of people, and let's, you know, get this one off and move forward and make our plan for new money looking at, you know, 16, 17. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to misspeak, Sue.
I
think a lot of people ended up on that. There was a lot of back and forth.
Yes.
I think
yes.
That was one of the ones that kind of hopped back and forth as we talked about different considerations. Like, you brought up some considerations for why we might not go in May. Mm-hmm. And then I think November was not an ideal time because it's a pretty big election.
2014?
Yeah.
Why we would go in May of next year.
Well, okay, so there was a May in concern, which I think some of the changes we got coming next year, I think we were just more, there was some concern there. And then I think November of 2014, just the obvious reasons we didn't want to be there. So,
And we brought with us the options as well.
The election deadlines for next year are... You've got a February 4th election date, so the 120 days would be October the 7th, and then the 90-day deadline would be November 6th, which is the day after the November 5th board meeting or election this year. So then you've got a May 6th option, and that deadline would be February the 5th, and then August 5th election would be May the 7th. And then the November 14th, that deadline would be August the 6th.
You know, I've been, like you said, kind of get a feel for people out in the thing. And I've been talking to people and, like, when I've been out golfing and just talking to people and just, you know, what do you think? And everybody I've talked to said that they thought November. It's November. Mm-hmm. So just kind of laying it out, November or spring, you know, it's no new money. And I said, no new money. Then you should just do it in November. So
we had an 80%, passage rate on this other one, which had some other things, wrapped into it, a larger number, made it continuous.
Right.
Whereas renewals historically have been...
Some of the other concerns that we talked about in the finance committee were who else was going to be on the ballot this November, and had there been conversations between those groups that, you know, does it make sense? Had we already said we weren't going to be on the ballot, or did other people go on thinking that we weren't going to be on? Things like that. So I know that was something we didn't, I don't know if we had all the answers.
Is that in fact?
The library, obviously, we know is on because that was on our agenda.
Yeah.
It will show as a school district library levy.
Right.
The
MRDD, are they going on?
No. I just totally lost my train of thought.
Harris Township, maybe they'll know tonight.
Health Department?
Union County, thank you, for the Job and Family Services.
Right.
They had talked about they were going to be on for new. However, the county commissioners really, with the impact of the rollback, made the decision not to go on. So that one is not going to be on either. So
it's going to be the library and possibly go on.
Possibly a Paris Township. I don't know for sure. And that one, they won't know until tonight.
Okay. And I think there was concern, too. I mean, there was great conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, three times, in essence, in a calendar year. I thought was a valid argument because we were on last November.
Right.
Then again in May and now again in November.
I guess my worry for that would be is we got a lot of support. I mean, granted, our staff gave us a lot of work. They did a lot of the work there. Mm-hmm. And we're asking them to open the school year. You know, they got OTES they're rolling out. They got Common Core that they're trying to roll out. And now we're going to throw them into a levy campaign. And on top of that, we have to raise private funds for that. And then we have to kind of run that group again. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine, you know, you've been in levy mode for all of, 10 out of your 12 months here?
Correct. Well, I would argue you're always in levy mode.
Well, but... Yeah. But you know what I mean. But I mean, we've
been actively
doing that, and all the people that have worked on at least the last two campaigns a lot. I mean, it's almost levy fatigue, if you ask me.
I think that was one of the concerns. But I think what kept coming up was we feel this could be almost a throw some postcards out there, throw some signs up, which we've done in the past. I mean, when the three of us won, that's exactly what was on the ballot with renewal, and it passed with flying colors.
Sure.
So I think. You know, and given the fact that it's November, and if it doesn't pass with a very minimal campaign, that really kind of tells you something. I mean, going into May, we might actually put a little more into the campaign in May if we fail one in November.
Yeah, if you can't go next November, because I don't recommend next November.
No.
So that only gives us two times.
Yeah, May and
wait
August.
Till May.
Yeah.
Right. The concern we also heard was, you know, how just paying if you had to go on for a special. How much more that would cost if you had to use one of those options in next year.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much the talk was May was, if it's not now, then May would be it.
Right.
So to me it makes sense to just get it on there. You know,
there will be another levy, obviously. The renewal will be this school year. I mean, I think I've heard across the board next November is an option.
Right.
Right.
So it's got to happen during this school year.
It's correct.
November or May.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much the concerns you were talking about in the spring that kind of gave you pause on May, I think. I don't know if you want to talk about those or not.
Well, we did. We talked about redistricting. We talked about some of the change things that are coming about and just trying to keep messaging clear and not hitting with too much change and information all at one time. Confuses the message, and so I think with those things in mind too, the fall looked to be a better option as compared to the spring.
Mm-hmm. And I that just kind of made me think of another concern when you were talking about the messaging for some of those other things, and I guess maybe this was, I don't know if other people shared it or not, but just the fact that we have been talking about trying to be just out there with our financial plans, and that if we pass something right now to go in November, does that come across as being rushed, that we haven't been thinking about it, that the public feels like we are surprising them with that? So that, I guess that was another concern.
I guess I would say, and not to, I know we've talked about since Dr. Reimer was here, when we put together our plan, you know, mm-hmm. that 6-5-6 has always been part, you know, it's always been part of that conversation.
Right. Yeah. So it shouldn't be a surprise.
Right, that's all I'm saying. Is, you know, we talk about that, you know, that every piece is built on the next piece, and that 6-5-6 was the last of that, and everybody knew it was kind of, it was out there. I'm not sure how to highlight around it, but...
I think where they were talking about having to spend more time with messaging is when we started talking about maybe making it a 10-year instead of a 5-year or continuous instead of... So now you start... adding these other variables.
If you change the terms of it, I think it would be
right.
A problem.
I mean, if you the thought was, if we're going November, you don't want to do any of those things.
Right.
I want to say
another just another zero tax increase.
Right.
Same size. The discussion was around maybe you should look at when you wanted new money for, and then
make sure that you're not
billed, yeah. So we don't end up with back to back levies like we have in this stretch. So if the need is in 2016, then if you put this one on for five, to really be thoughtful about, and then maybe the new in 2016 would be a
like an 8 or something.
This one could be a 10, and the next one, you know,
something to split them up.
Correct, so that we would give our community breathing room.
And I think when we looked at it, it was about a 2-year difference. If you just let me buy this one and then the new. And then the nice thing is we wouldn't be on the ballot at all next year or the year after, which would be, you know.
Now, I guess the talk was this would just be a straight renewal. It wouldn't be continuing.
Right.
It would just
be
just kick it down the can for another. Mm-hmm.
Correct. There was some discussion, I think, about continuing, not continuing. They felt like if we wouldn't put this one on continuing until we had another one. I don't think I'm just speaking right now.
Right.
So if we went to 2016 and got new at that time, and then the next time the 656 came up, renew it for continuous. So you always had a levy on for the voters to vote in.
I think that's a good idea, because our other one this year, we already got it. We got that accomplished, so we don't have to deal with that again. You know, so doing it this way, I think, is awesome, because there's absolutely no changes whatsoever.
All right, so I guess the question is, do we want to go on in November or not?
Well, I say go for it. I mean, everybody that I've talked to has always said, not one person said wait until spring.
All right, Doug, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, right now we didn't even have some of the momentum left in the March one. Keep it.
Tracy?
Yes.
Sue, what do you think?
I mean, I can really see a lot of merit in doing that. You know, I guess I'd want to feel comfortable that we would have a committee in place, that there would be people willing to expend the energy, even if it's not a full-blown thing. Somebody still needs to be coordinating the signs, and if, you know, if we're going to mail something, I don't know if we do the lit drops or not, and I don't know how much, I can't remember how much money we have left from the last one.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Everybody have all those signs? I mean, I don't want to derail, but I mean, we should still have all those signs.
Yeah,
I'm sure we don't have all of them, but
I mean,
we have a pretty good chunk of them.
We had a lot of signs.
Right, yeah, we did.
So you're thinking...
I mean, I do see the merit of it, you know, because that does give us a nice long break in there where, you know, where we can just be telling our story and saying this is how we're, you know, these are how the funds are being used, and this is what it looks like we're going to be needing new money pending the changes that we always know come out. So.
Okay, I'm okay. And I guess, you know, I agree. I mean, I think it's probably a good time to go. My worry is the logistics of getting it done. That's really what my concerns are is you know, finding the people to do it, making sure it can get done. I know it's just a couple of signs and postcards, but it still has to be done the right way. I mean, you can't neglect it and say, oh, we're just going to kind of throw it out there. I mean, we need to make sure we're still available to talk and we're still available to do those things that you would normally, you know, want to do. I guess, what are your thoughts?
I think you've said a lot of the things that have run through my mind. The thought of jumping into a school year and not having a levy be right there is attractive. I have to be honest. But I do like the idea of telling people, look, you're not going to see us for 2 years. Or, you know, I think it's important to look at our financial picture, too. I hear, I think, a consensus interest in going in November. But I'd like to put some meat with that if that's what we do, so that people understand that, look, we're not going to be back until 2016, 17, 25, whatever it is. But I think that it is an important part of our message for this campaign. Look, we want to do this, renew this, get this off the books, and ask for that.
What do you think, Sam?
it's going to be a quick turnaround to get it on the levy, on the ballot now.
We'll have to be here tomorrow night, correct?
No, we can't be here tomorrow night. You don't have enough time to inform the people.
Even for an emergency meeting?
No. It would have to be Wednesday morning. You've got 24 hours you have to inform the press.
So if we send out a notice now, we can meet tomorrow night.
I thought there was an emergency. It didn't have a specific time frame. It was just as soon as you could.
There is an emergency, but I would, from what I was talking with Rick today, it would be a 24-hour notice and a 48-hour notice for the board. As long as you all show up, then that's waived. But if anybody doesn't show up, then it's not.
So if we send out a notice, if we send out a notice now, we can meet at 7 tomorrow night, right? Would we have what we needed from the auditor?
Well, I'd have to check with the auditor to see if she could be here because she's got to certify it after we do the first first notification.
Have you talked to her at all?
I've talked to her this today, and she can get it for me tomorrow. But I mean, she might be able to be here, or somebody from her office could be here, or we could have it Wednesday morning too.
Decide to meet her tomorrow night.
If we do it Wednesday morning, it's going to have to be before 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it'd have to be wicked early for me as well.
So if we could swing it for tomorrow night, that would work out better.
We could do it even later than 7. We could do it 7:30 right. Or 8, I guess.
Yeah, wait, for 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to do it at 8 o'clock, I mean, whatever the case may be, I mean, tomorrow night will be fine.
Okay. So I will have two resolutions and see if she can be here, or once we do the first one, if I can email it to her, then she could email me back the information.
Okay, that would be good.
Have you, Diane, have you talked to Juliet at all about this, or do you have any feel from teachers? Okay.
I did not.
Okay. I mean, because Gail's on the finance committee, and she was a little bit more on the fatigued side, you know. She was more on the let's wait until May, you know. So.
No, was it Gail?
Thanks.
Gwen Murray wasn't it that was saying that?
Gail was. I know Gail was.
Gail was. Yeah. So was, I think, Kathy also.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we'll have a meeting tomorrow night then to vote on this.
What time?
Well, if you can send the notice out now, it'd be 7.
I can find their emails. I'll send it right now.
We could just tell her.
You want to do 7:30 or 7? You want to do 7:30?
Let's just do 7:30. How about do 7:30 just to be?
7:30.
Yeah, that seems. I doubt Kenny will have time to help us out this time around.
What's that?
I said I doubt Kenny will have time to help us out this time around. He started as principal.
I don't think in the same capacity, but.
I mean, I know, obviously, he'll help us however he can. I know
right.
He will.
What's today's
day?
Today's the 5th, tomorrow's the 6th.
Board meeting 7:30 p.m. on August 6, 2013 for the purpose of placing the levy on the November ballot.
Correct. Okay, then. When you're ready, we'll move on. Imagine if you're listening to this, you're going, what are they doing? Okay, all right, so 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
7:30
tomorrow night. 7:30 tomorrow night.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, I'm right on it. I got my good ears on tonight. All right, next up is the financial forecast overview.
I gave everybody copies of the baseline forecast that we've got. Diane and I reviewed it and went through a lot of different things. Different things, just go through what I did for the finance committee and really looking at some of it. Our general property tax, I met with Andrea today, and there's a lot of changes within the property tax, whether it's the real estate or the personal property for the public utilities. And those two areas are still up in the air. She said that overall there was a 7.5% reduction on values countywide for real estate. So that's less than what we had expected. We thought maybe a 1% increase or something like 0.84. So that's less than that. So not knowing where that's at, I couldn't tell you what it's going to do. Remember, once values go down, your effective rates go up. So our effective rates will be going up.
None of our levies are at the top, though, right?
Well,
the five, the
four
five
and the five are really close, right. So they will probably max out at okay. that point of whatever that money is, mm-hmm. and we won't collect as much as what we're probably collecting now. Whether it's in Category 1, which are your real estate and your residential and ag, or Class 2, which is your commercial industrial. There are some changes in commercial industrial that there will see a very significant increase in the effective rate because of losses of value in that area. Right now, I really can't say what all that's going to be, but we will be seeing a definite decrease in our values. And
is that going to affect our TIFs as well?
The TIFs, the commercials are up, but it's the industrial area that's okay. down. So, no, okay. it's not going to affect. But that rate, remember, Class 1 separate from Class 2 rates, so those go up and down. As they move along. So those two areas are still very much in the air. Public utility, personal property tax, there's a little increase there, and there was an increase last year. So that's a year-to-year item. The unrestricted grants and aids, we've had an increase because of the state budget. To balance out to what the estimate was is $1.2 million for this year, and an additional 2.9 for the next 4 years on the forecast.
When you say additional 2.9,
that's over the year's previous year forecast. Okay, so it was like a 1.2. And remember, I had us going down, not knowing where we were at and how we were going to land with our enrollment.
Enrollment was part of the reason.
Yes, enrollment's part of that changes too. So those are changes there. Because we're on the cap, we received the 2.5% cap this year. We got a 10% cap from the state next year. We're still in that cap, so deeply into that cap that's going to make a big difference probably in 2 years, not knowing exactly what's going to happen there. Our unrestricted grants and aids, I've still got in there at what we've received this past year, which is our BOAG and our FCS classes, and those that may go down or it may go up. It just sort of depends on what happens with that funding, how they do that, and that's not even been looked at yet. We don't have any of those numbers yet at all. The property tax allocation page, we looked at that as far as the TPP hold harmless replacement. This year, we had it going down in the past forecast, well, not in the May, but the previous ones, 1% each year over the forecast. In May, we took that, we didn't deduct that 1% out, which is $400,000+ about per year. And so that amount is steady. We're steady for the next two with the governor, with the budget. The following year, we've got a 1% decrease in there for each of those years.
Starting at 16?
Starting in 16, yes.
Do we need to continue to keep those in there?
Well, here's what they said. They don't like guarantees. Those guarantees, we don't have to. We could take them out. That's up to us. But they don't like guarantees. So if in guarantees, that's a guarantee. They consider that a guarantee. So do we take them out, or do we leave them in for a cushion to know that that might be coming out later on? I mean, it was a 2% decrease over the last 2 years, mm-hmm. each year. And so we've only got half of that in there. Or do we put in 2% coming out in those last 3 years of the forecast? You know, that's one of those questions, big, small. Where's your crystal ball out, and how do you deal with that?
I guess my point on all of that has always been that it just kind of muddies the waters to throw it in there. So, like, if you're going to have some consideration for the TPP, I think as far out as it is, maybe that's okay. But we also have flatline state budget after that.
Right.
And I think what we've shown over the last two state budgets is there's always been an increase from the state foundation stuff. Mm-hmm. And even the last one, with most of the hit came from TPP. So, I mean, I haven't had a chance to total up the net, how far off we were in our conservative estimates. But mm-hmm. when you look at, it's pretty significant how far off we were. I mean, we were conservative, but we were conservative everywhere across the board, across the entire forecast, and that's a pretty huge difference mm-hmm. when reality hits. And I think we just need to kind of be aware of that, I think, as we move forward. I think it's good to be conservative, don't get me wrong, but we have to start thinking about either making it more transparent what those dollars are, and maybe have variations, so you're
maybe
showing a
increase in the state aid, but in not the TPP, or
eliminate
the one
thing.
What
you're estimating a project, you do most likely, worst case, best case, and you show that range, mm-hmm. as opposed to just having one forecast out there that's always got really a worst case scenario in it, and then when reality hits, then we end up off by several million dollars a year, or over the course of the forecast. Just a thought, I guess, because it's hard. I mean, because we're making decisions based on this, and then we're actually, and a lot of times we're convincing the community to buy into our decisions based on it. And then when the numbers end up being off, it kind of puts us in a. I mean, some of it we can explain. Say state, it's
right.
state
yeah.
budget. It's kind of an unknown. Mm-hmm. But just a thought. Hmm.
And then, too, there's that piece of legislation where they're in the House where they're going to completely be revamping how school districts are funded, which my guess is they're going to be starting on that when they come back in September. So it may not be so much as, wait another 2 years to see who the governor is and what's going to happen.
Oh, right, last minute, which we always do.
Well, I'd like to consider it anyways, at least from my point of view, is before we approve this in October that we take serious consideration, maybe a little more discussion as to taking that particular 1% out. I'm just not sure anymore. We just make it what the law is. And the law says it's going to be locked. I mean, I'm all for adding a buffer in, but for me, I just prefer to keep it. I know I was a big advocate of putting that in there, but now, as we've kind of seen it for the last couple of years, that's just my perspective.
But we do need to plan for it.
Absolutely, I think you do need to plan for it.
It needs to be central to our discussion, mm-hmm. and I think that's where it goes back.
I think you put that in your notes. You don't put it in the forecast. You
need to see a version of the forecast that shows that, and not the one we approve, but you mm-hmm. need to have...
Or at least
like
have that dollar amount readily available to, But yeah, I mean, it would be
like
easier just to see it.
Like a worst case scenario, I just think that part of the discussion and the planning and all that stuff needs mm-hmm. to take that into account. I don't think we can mm-hmm. just assume that it'll always be there, because I think what you said, Cindy, is exactly right. That is a guarantee. Right now, the rest of the state is subsidizing our mm-hmm. loss of TPP. Mm-hmm. And it's eventually going to go away, and hopefully it gets rolled into our state foundation,
Well, that's what it was supposed to have been happen with the cat tax. It was supposed to roll it into the state foundation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll pick up someday. Okay.
Well, you could say the rest of the state subsidizing us, but really our TPP tax is subsidizing the rest of the state too. What used to be ours now gets allocated. I mean, they do the CAT tax. They just changed the whole formula.
But see, everybody, yeah. The CAT tax hits a lot more people than TPP.
Right. I understand.
I think we're collecting less dollars locally, but we're taking in the same as we were in.
Right.
All right.
And then the other revenue, we've just sort of. I've put in, right now we've got a 0% increase. We've had increases before, but I did that just because when we were talking about all day, every day kindergarten, we thought, just let's zero that out. No, not count on any type of increase in that other revenue, and that way that's got a little bit of play in it. We can always change that around, but that's...
So there's nothing in there for all day, every day kindergarten?
It's in there for as what we collect now, but then thereafter, there's 0% increase. Usually we put a 2% in there, which isn't much, but...
You're talking about on the revenue
side. Yeah, on the revenue side, yeah. So we've just sort of taken that out.
But just one last quick thing. There will be an effect on our inside millage with that drop in property values. Will there not?
It could be, yeah. Oh, yeah, our inside millage. Yeah, the 4 mils will definitely. That's why this is the... Right now this revenue looks really... I think it's going to be skewed a little bit from what we've got because of the value. And I don't know if that, I mean, we might have some areas in Marysville that had a 5% increase, and then somebody else might have had a 6% decrease. I mean, that's an average for the whole county. I don't know what areas that basically had. So it had to be, if it's an average, that means somebody was up more than that, then, you know, so you're looking at that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was our areas. I mean, somebody, you know, like maybe downtown, a little decrease. Mill Valley had an increase. You don't know that until we get those numbers certified. Gotcha. She said probably in a couple weeks.
Okay.
I usually have them by the end of August is when we usually get them. So then the other one on the other financing sources is the House Bill 264 note. And so that's what made up the revenue that we gave you as far as where it's at and where it will be based on just a straight baseline. This is just a baseline forecast with as much zeroed out as possible and just no extras added so that we've got a straight base. So.
And expenditures, do we have all day, every day, kindergarten in there?
Not in this one. Not in this one. So on the expenditure line, this has no increase in 2014, then it's got a straight 2% increase in 15, 16, 17, and 18. And then the amount of staff being reduced right now, it's still a moving target because we haven't hired everybody yet. So that number is going to change. I've seen almost $100,000 in the last week change on some of it. So I'd hate to say whether it's more than what we thought back in the spring when we did the RIFs and everything. So that's more there. And then once salaries and benefits may change the way that they're being shown on the forecast at a later date. And then on the benefits, we've taken out the cuts, you know, for the staff that we've lost. I've changed the unemployment from, I think it was 14 in May to 5. So that's dropped that. It was over, I think, 200,000. There's a difference of $163,000 less added to the forecast for an expenditure. So that amount is good there. I think there's only, so far we've only seen 2. So we possibly, but everybody else, that means everybody else has gotten jobs other places. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. That's real good.
So that's where that's at. We've still got the 8% in for our annual increase in our insurances and all that. So that those will change, I'm sure, after negotiations are all over, as far as how it's being shown on the forecast and all. So those will make some changes there. Our open enrollment, that's I just started looking at those this week to see where we're at compared to where they were showing us last year, and it's up a little bit, so we'll see where it ends up, but that's a moving target also compared to from 1 year to the next. So right now is they're basing everything off of last year's information, so we won't get anything until October. Really good numbers on that, but Rich and I have talked about what he's seen and going out, and we'll keep a good handle on that through the EMIS system. We've taken out some of the cuts, different cuts that we made last year as far as for some of the purchase service items, and then changes in the staffing that would have been at the ESC, so that's an area that we made some changes there.
What was the ESC amount for?
That was for the staff that could retire this year or early next year, so it was less now because we only have one person in that realm.
And what was the increase in purchase services for over last year? I mean, you said we rolled some of those back, I think.
Yeah, we rolled some. We have a 3% increase in there, increase for utilities.
Is that fuels and all that stuff?
Yeah. I think it was late Friday, I just got our, what our charges for the natural gas through our consortium is. So I haven't had a chance to see what that looks like compared to what we had in the appropriations and all. So
I thought that was supposed to be reduced by what we got into earlier this year.
I haven't looked at the difference between what we had and what they're saying, because they give us an estimate on what we get, and sometimes their estimates, and then what happens is they give us an estimate, we have to pay that, and then the following year is when we get that back from them. We don't have to pay that first month, or they'll send us a rebate back on our...
Is that whole 3% increase due to that particular utility?
No, I've got a 3% increase just for that line item, for the purchase services overall. And then we also have an extra increase in there for tuition, tuition to other districts that we're getting more than what we had, that 3% was from the year before. So I wanted to make sure that we had plenty.
Historically, what's the increase?
The 3%, it's up and down. And so with what we think and what we're seeing in students, we just got four more students that are going to be going on the autistic scholarship. And so that costs the district that much more, and we have to transport those students. So
So if you don't mind, I hate to beat that horse. I'm just trying to understand. Last year, we have a jump in $500,000 in purchase services for this year, and then next year it only goes up like $80,000. So what's that big jump from last year to this year for?
That's for the increase in the utilities and the repairs that we're looking at right now.
Oh, so we're looking... Some, doesn't that come out of PI?
Some do, some do not, if they are not. We've added an extra, and that was in the forecast last year also, an extra $459,000.
Did you move anything to purchase services last year that might have been?
Some, yeah, and we didn't. This is based on appropriations, and last year we did not spend as much in our appropriations as what we did, so we appropriate high in case something happens.
Sure.
Well, and that's what this that extra is.
I guess I was faintly recalling that I thought we moved something into purchase services, and that's why that number might have been higher going into this year. That something was otherwise not in purchase services.
Was that the substitutes? Or
the substitutes were, yeah.
So could that be why the line number went up?
Okay. Last year. And we got we're looking at $400,000, $450,000. I think last year we ended up, I increased it by another... I had 400 in there last year. We increased it 475 in the middle of the year for purchase services because of the subs were higher for the ESC.
Are those funds are that we could use from the ESC to pay for some of those purchase services? You know, since we pay into the ESC, is there items that they could be doing that we could use those funds we have to pay for and not pay for it out of our purchase services account?
We already have most of that spoken for.
I know, but you said you rolled some of those back. You rolled it back to 50,000. So there has to be some room in there now that we can potentially move some of those services over to them. Does that make sense?
Well, with the AmeriCorps tutors, we're purchasing out of that $6.50 a student.
Right.
So we have most of that money earmarked already.
Okay, that's just okay. That's fine. Yeah. That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
We looked at that throughout the.
Yeah, we've looked at that. On our supplies, we've just got a 3% increase over last year. What was spent? And that may be changing a little bit. We're working with the buildings on some of that, as far as their supplies and all their substitutes. Talked to them today, the principals, about an incentive on if they don't have substitute costs, then that part of that forfeit, that amount they could use then the following year. So we're working on that with them. And then,
in essence, the idea is to try to incentivize attendance. Cindy did kind of an average of what sub costs have been for that building. They'll in turn get that money and spend, you know, as the subs come in, whatever they have left at the end of the year is theirs to work towards things that are aligned to their goals.
Oh, that's great.
So if they're looking to integrate more technology and want to put in a lab or,
right,
I don't know,
smart boards or something.
Or smart boards or iPads or whatever, but it'll help create a, you know, we're in it together. Well, we do know that sometimes when doctor's appointments are, you know, like at 10:30, mm-hmm, sometimes people have to take a half day because of the timing as opposed to just taking that chunk of time off. So we'll hopefully find creative ways to cover one another's classes in order to save that cost, and then the buildings can use that money to go directly to students.
Sure. I think it gives ownership to everyone.
Yeah.
It does.
So that will be a new change for us all going into next year. So we'll report on how that one goes.
Yeah. And then on the capital outlay, we basically decreased the areas that we had thought of that were about $50,000 out there. So we took those out. And then our debt services, our House Bill 264, and we paid that down by $50,000 a year on the principal and whatever that is then on interest. And our other objects is a 3% increase from one year to the next. So
that's pretty much the auditor's money right there, isn't it?
That and state and, yeah, grant awards, conference things, not conference, but your memberships and things like that.
Right.
Yep. So that's where we're at as far as where, you know, that gives you a baseline. Then from there, we can just start playing with the forecast and saying, okay, if you don't want that 2% or that 1% to come out, or if you want me to increase the state foundation by 1% each year, what does that do? And then we can just go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got ideas on what you'd like to see in it, that's fine. Just send them to me and we can do that and have some ideas and where that would take us over the next 5 years.
Plan a work session before October's forecast?
We can, yeah.
I'm just saying, mm-hmm, if we're talking about this 5-year plan.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
You know, or at least having a little more detail as to what looks like,
something like where we can put something up on the board and play around with it that way.
You had asked Cindy and I to kind of put together,
correct,
yes,
kind of that year-end report, so
yep,
it might,
mm-hmm,
be logical to do it
all
after
together,
that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we wanted
together
to do it at September's regular board meeting, so sometime between there and
the October board meeting.
Yeah, somewhere in between.
Work session based on that.
And we're early in September, right? All right.
Be the 19th?
Yes. So anytime after the 19th, we don't have to. We don't have to decide that tonight, but we, I agree. It'd be nice. We had one last year, if I'm not mistaken, and I think it was.
And the October board meeting's on the 17th.
So, okay.
Monday.
So keep your calendars, well, not open, but look for that week of the 23rd or the week of the 30th, somewhere in there.
Okay.
So everybody has enough time?
23rd's a bad week for me. I'll tell you right now.
Okay, well, then we'll just cross that out. It's bad for Sue.
That's right. The first of October on.
Okay.
Really?
No.
Seriously.
Oh, good for
that. Seriously. Yeah, I've got a real big thing
okay.
going on
yep.
at work
all right.
that week.
All right.
So you're saying after the first?
Like October, starting
first
that, like, yeah.
The 1st of October would be okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so according to this, then, without those new levies, we're going to be deficit spending by 2016, correct?
Right.
Without the renewal.
I'm sorry, without the 656.
Without the renewal.
Right.
Yeah, it would be deficit spending by 2016. With the renewals, then you're not looking at it until 2018.
Okay. Are there any other questions on the forecast? Comments? Anybody? Okay. Thank you for that. Next up, let me get over to my agenda. I have some 15 windows open. Okay, now I need a motion to approve the board policy revision regarding JECBC having to do with homeschool athletic participation. I need a motion to approve that, please.
Moved. Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? Ms. Mankins, would you like to?
Sure. We discussed it last time, and I told you Ohio High School hadn't come out with regulations. Well, 2 days later, as I told you, I knew it would happen. They are not going to enforce their current. They're going to act like the law goes into effect now. So what we prepared for you, OSBA does not have a revised agenda yet, although they anticipate it as quickly as this week, so we could have it for the next meeting. But I know that we were definitely interested in communicating to our community that we were on board and, you know, would require zero classes. So what we did was just simply revised and took out all sections that referred to enrollment in any coursework, and that's what you see in front of you. I would expect that we will adopt OSBA's when it comes out, but this would definitely allow us to accomplish what we want to for this season starting. So, and fall sports are hot and heavy right now. So.
Right.
So if the OSBA would change that, because you never know until they come out, we would follow their guidelines.
They're just going to change the verbiage.
They're just changing their verbiage to reflect the law, the current,
okay.
or the
okay.
law that will be in effect on September 27th.
Okay.
Everyone's just moving early because Ohio High School then decided they were not going to enforce their guidelines. They were just going to act like it's a new law currently. So then they're creating the policy to go along with that at OSBA.
Very good.
Okay, I do have a question, though.
Yes,
okay.
ma'am.
One thing that concerns me is that, you know, the kids that are in sports, playing fall sports, in the schools, if they're absent that day, they can't play. What kind of problems are we going to run into here? I mean, they have to attend so many periods or they can't play. Is that correct?
Correct. That's our own policy.
So
mm-hmm.
what are we going to run up against here? You know, that's what my concern is. What are we going to run up against here with parents saying, wait a minute, here you've got kids that aren't attending at all, and yet... So my son didn't have a bad headache this morning, but he's fine now. You know, what are we coming up against here?
Well, quite simply, one's the law. I mean, it's not within our bounds. And the students, I don't want to make the assumption that the homeschool students aren't engaged and work all day long either. I think that would be unfair of us to make that
right.
assumption. Mm-hmm. They very well could, you know, put in a 12-hour day that day.
Right.
So, I mean, we could look at putting a committee together and revising our own, you know, policies around attendance and recommendations for athletes as well. But quite simply, in this case, it's going to be the law anyways.
Right. So maybe I think that, and of course we will abide by that, but I think that we need to kind of look at our own in-house thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's us. I mean, basically, the law says they have to meet the same eligibility requirements as our in-school
right.
students.
Right.
The problem comes to be is now it's a management issue, which
right.
was the issue when we talked about this
student
last year.
Right.
Was it's a management issue. So now we have to manage those kids
and enforce. I mean, enforcement.
That's what
too,
I'm saying.
You know,
but,
you know.
But I will. Yeah. But I will say, you know, I think we're trying to put a square peg in a round hole because
yes.
the
right.
whole. The whole model of homeschooling is different than traditional schooling. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know if my kids are homesick, they're homeschoolers, so they're already home. I mean, or they could do it on Saturday. And I get what you're saying, but
right.
I want to make sure it's not.
We're going to be up against with parents,
right?
I think it's fair though what you're saying, especially when we're looking at offering more blended classrooms and looking at approaching school in a different way
mm-hmm.
and looking for other opportunities and learning beyond the walls of a traditional high school to revisit our other policies as we go down that journey because, quite honestly, high school doesn't look like it did or shouldn't look like it did, you know, even 10, 15 years ago. So I think that's a fair, very fair assessment of looking at our own policies as we make those changes and create opportunities for kids. That's
right.
what this policy is about and, you know, the other things we're trying to accomplish. So I think that's fair.
Yeah, I agree. But you just want to make it so you're not, it's not a huge, you know,
sure.
burden on an administrator for 5 homeschool kids. They got one administrator now trying to, you know.
I'm not suggesting putting more of
No. I'm just.
No.
I get
looking at our own. In-house
I agree with
right,
what you're saying.
I
was just talking out loud.
Yeah.
Well, somebody would have to make the determination then, depending upon how it was written. And I can't. Is that by building? You have to be at school or not school, or you can't attend the football game or whatever.
I'm trying to think of exactly where I read that, and it might mm-hmm. be in the athletic.
That's
code
my code
of conduct,
right?
The handbook,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So then that would not necessarily be a board, although it could be a committee from the board.
Well, I know it's something we enforce with kids,
mm-hmm.
so it's only fair.
Right.
Right. Again, it falls under that. Have to meet the same requirements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can look into that.
Okay. Any other conversation? Okay. Hearing none, can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mady?
Yes.
Mr. Devine?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Any final comments before we go into executive session, Mrs. Powers?
No.
Mr. Lassiter?
No.
Ms. Greer?
None.
Ms. Devine?
None.
Ms. Mankins?
No.
Ms. Ritter?
No.
And I move that we head into executive session at 7:25. Can I get a second, please?
Second.
Moved and second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Lady?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, we are in executive session.